This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek show number 632 with Dave McCabe, recorded on December 12th, 2024. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way in your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Carlson, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studio here in a beautiful Bellevue, Nebraska. A little chilly. We've got Dave McCabe over on the other side playing the air guitar music that will fill in a little bit later. Dave, welcome to the program.
I had your intro in my head. When you started that spiel, I'm like, I was like, yeah, there's that thing. I don't know what you call it.
I love that. Thanks for filling in on the air guitar. A couple reminders. Big thanks to our Patreon subscribers. You guys are great. Every single month, you can join the team, theaverageguy.tv/Patreon, if you want to do that. $5 plan. You can be on it for a month or as long as you want. Many of you keep on it. And then head over to theaverageguy.tv and hit that affiliate link button up there in the upper right-hand corner. If you want to, it's shopping time. It's Amazon shopping time. If you want to head out there, theaverageguy.tv, click through the link, buy on Amazon, helps out the network. Appreciate what you do there. Big thanks to Christian Johnson, who joined us last week. And Dave, did you hear the news? Christian's going to be a dad. Have you
up on that? I don't listen to many shows. I've told you this in the past, Jim. My podcast listening has dwindled a lot. But when I see Christian's name, I always download him. When I see Christian's name, I listen. Those are automatics for me.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah. He had LASIK surgery the next Monday after he did the last show, and now has 2015, I think is what they say, vision. And he said, my days of wearing glasses, over. So, going to be a dad, no more glasses. The guy's living large.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You can't tell, but I had LASIK, let's see, in 98, 96, maybe.
Does it wear off? Apparently.
Well, you get old and you can't see the screen in front of you. That's my problem.
Okay.
So, no, it was one of the best decisions I ever made in my entire life.
Yeah, I can't. I can't sit there where they hold your eyes open and burn your eyeballs. I can't.
Oh, it's intense. No, they really drug you up, Jim. I mean, when they drugged me up, I was just like, take whatever you want, you know, kidneys. I don't care. Just, I'm feeling good.
Yeah, I imagine they would. I imagine they would. A year ago, I had, 70% of my prostate removed. Right. Don't remember any of that. I imagine I would not remember, or I'd feel.
Well, you're awake for the whole thing. I remember it all.
I can't do it. Well, anyways, congratulations, Christian. Thank you for doing that. And I think she is due in March, and we're going to get him back either one time before or one time after. We'll have him back to update us on those kinds of things as well. Dave, good to have you back. Last time you were here, we were talking about CNC machines and wood shops and making things and all that good kind of stuff. And then when I did the Mac M4 show right before that, Schoonover popped some links to me and said, hey, are you going to buy these stands for the M4? That thing, the paint wasn't even dry and you had stands out for that thing. How does that work?
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to share a secret with you. I printed a Mac Mini M4. I didn't even have one purchased in my hands yet. And I had printed the model. So this is the model that I used. I used Apple's specs, and then I used this to get the this rounded edge right here as close as I humanly could. And then I had it, Jim. I made a couple of stands, and I'm like, should I do this or should I not? Do I need this computer? It was really a personal decision. Do I need the computer? And it wasn't a business decision. Hey, go buy the Mac Mini, make stands, make $1 million. No, that wasn't going to happen. So I was like, you know what? I forgot in a military discount I think like ID.me or something.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, you missed it.
Dang it.
I plugged that in. I'm like, oh, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I just went and picked one up. I just ordered it and did the Apple pickup thing. and brought it home. And luckily, this was a little like a thousandth thicker in every single direction.
Okay. Yeah.
So I was able to like slip it into a couple of my mounts that I had created, you know, so easily. And I was like, well, this is a no-brainer. Let me put it out there. And I threw it out on Etsy.
The web. We had a connection loss there for a second. Dave, from the specs you got off the web, you were able to, you close enough to be able to create nearly identical copy of the outside of that? Is that how that worked?
Yeah. I mean, no, this is, it's like a filled version. Yeah. I know you can't see it, but you know, it's
solid
mini on it. It is very solid.
Okay.
And it's got all the ports in the right spots. That was the big thing for me because I designed those vertical stands that would hold it, and it would need to have the ports visible.
Yeah.
So I wasn't able to finalize, but it gave me, such a good head start on how to create. And I had never done this before. I never created a Mac stand and it's got this, you know, the heat comes out of the bottom of the M4 and it's got this raised section here for your camera. I don't even know if your audience is, they've probably seen them in the news, but
yeah, I'll move you over and make you big,
but it has that, it has this little section here and that's where the heat is dissipated. This is the bottom. Mm-hmm. And this is somewhat, I thought this was going to be a rubberized bottom, and it's not really rubber at all. That surprised me. So I had to make some changes to the model as well. I had to buy some little bumper like doohickeys, but the ports got me almost halfway there, and I just started printing, Jim.
Yeah. Well, did you wait until the final design was out and you had it in your hand?
I did.
Before you, okay.
I did. Okay. That was a big thing, and that was just a safety thing for me. The good thing about Etsy is, well, it's a bad thing too, is it's like Google. When you throw a new product out there, it takes a little while to get into the search algorithm. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to be searchable Mac Mini M4 right off the bat. So it takes a couple of days, and it did. And that allowed me to tweak and tune, because there are in these vents, you can stick your finger in there and get a fingernail in these vents. And I used, I didn't want the Mac to sit in the stand and be able to spin. So I used some registration tabs, you know, front and back, for it to sit into and to lock. And that was the big concern for me, is did I get those in the right location? Because mm-hmm. I mean, it has to be perfect, because you want the Mac, the outside of that, to be super flush with that. It's called a pedestal.
Right. And, and you have one that the Mac, the Mini can sit flat on top. And so you can get around from the backside to get to the power button.
That's it. That's the pedestal. Yeah. And that's what I was thinking. It's like, well, everybody's complaining about the power button. There was a shift. There was the wave of complaints about the power button, and then that went away, and then there was a wave of people complaining about the people complaining about the power button. So I didn't know where to fire at, so I just put a little hole there that your finger could find.
Yeah.
Because I know people say, well, I never touched my power button. Well,
how far in advance did we know that power button was going to be where it was going to be? Had that gotten leaked pretty early? Or?
Not at all. Oh. It was only when it dropped. Yeah.
Okay.
I saw MKBHD. That's when I first got the idea. I was like, well, maybe I could design something to help that. And my first thought was, I want to do this in wood. I want to do it like this fancy walnut stand that's Apple people are going to pay, you know, buku bucks for. And I was like, no, let me try something in plastic first. And then I'll come back to walnut or oak or something.
Yeah. We showed both when we talked about that, when I was talking about the M4 that I bought, showed the pedestal and showed what do you call the upright then one?
Okay. So The funny thing is, and maybe it's not funny at all, I spent a lot of time on the pedestal. I should have brought one with me. I have the vertical stand, and this is not my best seller. Mm. So the vertical stand is what sells the most, and it allows you, I'm getting the rubber feet out, it allows you to put the Mac right here and have it vertical. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the best seller for me is you can put your SSDs and USB hubs in this little sidecar right here, and then, you know, stick it on your desk, under your monitor, behind your monitor. Mm-hmm. And that's what sells the most. Mm. Is this thing. And this was the easiest thing to create. And I had some guy messaged me one late Sunday night and said, man, I would love to have your pedestal. He said, but the sidecar is not big enough. I'm like, how much do you need? He goes, 1.5 inches. I'm like, done. Hit buy and I'll ship it to you.
Yeah.
And he was just like, he was blown away. He's like, right. Holy cow. Are you serious? I'm like, yeah. He's like, man, I'll just stretch this parameter right here for the sidecar. Yeah. And then you can see how I started out with these little indentations. These are for what I call bumpers. I got the smallest bumper I could find on Amazon. And there's the little bumpers. I include those.
Yep.
And I also, on the back, on the bottom,
there's
little indentations.
That's kind of good. So it doesn't slide around on your desk.
It doesn't slide around. But then I thought, you know, that to me, this looks tacky. So I went and got a spool of what they call TPU. It's a flexible, bendable filament, and it's literally a gasket. So gasket type material, and it just fits in the main, and then it fits in the sidecar. Mm. And so that way your little Mac is nice and snug and bouncy and
tight in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you use the little bumpers for the bottom so it doesn't fly around your desk.
Yeah, it's, you know, I have noticed, I actually, we talked about it on the show, I debated whether I was going to put it on my desk or on the rack. Mm-hmm. And the M1 had been in the rack, never saw it, was hidden away, never even looked at it. It's a beautiful machine, but I never looked at it. And then when I got this one, I'm like, well, it's not as wide, and you kind of fit, this would look nice on the desk. Maybe I'll go this way. But you're right. It's actually a little slider. Like, there aren't feet on the bottom of that thing.
And you see what I'm talking about. I'm not crazy. I thought that bottom would have this like squishy material, because Apple has done that before.
Right.
Some old school.
The neoprene or something, right?
And I'm like, oh, this is a great chance. Let me just stick this bad boy this way. And I designed this little bitty tray, and then I designed the full tray, and then I designed that sidecar tray. Cause I did, I was doing this for me. I was like, which one do I want? I don't know. Yeah. Let's make them all. And then I designed an under desk mount.
Oh,
which people seem to like that thing.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that one. That's all out on your Etsy page. I'll have a link to that in the show notes, as well as I put it in the chat room here for the live audience. If you want to check that out. I didn't know that would under the desk is actually one of the areas I was kind of thinking about. I'm going to leave it on top. Now I kind of like seeing it. Were you surprised by the headphone jack in this, right?
I didn't have any skin in the game. I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. I really don't.
But I really don't care. I don't either, but it felt like they put a CD player in the thing.
Like, I am used to Mac. Know? Like really screwing with you. Like I'm sitting in front of an iMac, and it's like one of the last generation iMacs. It has no ports on the front. I literally had to buy this port adapter that plugs into the USB-C and then wraps around, and underneath I can see 3 USBs and my SD cards. Cause you have to reach back there and try to put the SD card in the back of the machine, which is kind of silly.
The M1 had nothing up front. In fact, and then the power was in a weird spot on the back and like on the corner that I was always, if I was trying to touch the thing. And then when this came, and you know, the front has 2 USB-Cs and a headphone jack, I was like, huh? I mean, listen, I'm no righteous Apple or, you know, I was just like, huh? And not in a million years did I think they would put an old school.
It catches you by surprise because it's convenient.
Right.
And Apple has never been a manufacturer of convenience.
Yeah. Yeah. No, right on.
But I was telling you earlier, like I sit in front of an iMac 27 and I put the M4 on this ugly 1080p screen over here. I'm trying to get a 1080p or a 4K screen, hopefully from Santa Claus.
Yeah.
One day by accident, I moved the mouse to the edge of my screen and it jumped over to the M4 screen. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know how many software configurations we used to go through to try to get something like that to actually work? I was blown away. So I can just mouse over and I'm on the M4
automatically.
The keyboard sitting in front of me.
Yeah.
Unreal.
It's pretty great. I'm using Synergy only because we're going between Mac and PC.
Windows. Yeah.
Yeah. That's never going
to
work.
Yeah. I used to run that too. It actually used to work pretty
well. No, it works very well.
For a piece of software.
They keep it up to date. They do a nice job. You can, you know, there's all kinds of things you can sometimes, you know, those applications, they get too many configurations to them and then they're worthless. You're like, I can't figure this thing. This used to be so easy. And now they've engineered it out of the, out of it. So, Schoonover, in my Discord group is the one who gave me the link, said, hey, you're going to buy
Dave's Schoondoggy. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. You should send a little marketing money his way. But you've been running an Etsy store. Last time you were on, we talked about that. All your designs are out there. You've got some, you know, you've got some flight, some drink flight. I bought your smoker for drinks out there. How long have you been doing that? How well is that going? Tell me a little bit about your Etsy store.
Yeah, I'm going 2 years now. And when I first started it, I was literally selling just the CNC plans of the items that customers wanted me to create for them. So it was pretty easy, right? And plans and CNC plans and laser plans and that type of item, their target price is very low. I mean, it's $5, it's $8. You're lucky if you can get a $10 plan or a $12 plan. And now if you have thousands of those, I'm sure if they're quality, you would have a wonderful Etsy store, because the great part about it is you create it and you put it out there and you're done. You never have to see it again, right? For the most part. I've had to revisit a couple for questions and I'm like, I don't even know. I'm going to have to open the file and see how I even did it. And so there's $5 at a time that's not a business model. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't for me. So I'm like, well, let me find a few things to make. So we made the trays, the drink trays sell good. The smokers sell good. Which there's still, I think I still have a handful of those.
I love my smoker. Yeah.
Well, good. Like, when you need more chips, let me know.
It will do. It's a great party trick. And it's, you know, when the kids are over, put it on top, fire it up, put smoke in there. It's a good little device.
It's something that, when I need a party gift or an invite, you know, we're invited somewhere, I'll just grab one out of the drawer and take it with me.
Yeah.
And, I have like 10, just already boxed. All I got to do is throw a postage on them and out the door they go.
Yeah.
I went from, you know, that first year, maybe 50, 60 sales, you know, not a whole lot of action going on. And right now I'm hoping before Christmas, I'm going to cross over 1,000 sales.
Oh, nice.
On the store. So
congrats. Nice.
Yeah. I mean, the store's, I can't remember where I got the stat from, but there's a lot of Etsy stores that don't sell a whole lot of things. Oh, right.
For sure. Yeah.
And, so, I mean, we're in the real top percentage of sellers, not by, you know, like some of those guys that sell crazy things, or just sell stickers. Like, how simple could that be? But there's millions of those guys now. So all the good ideas are always seem to be, you know, everybody just hones in on it and comes. And 3D printing will get there soon because these printers are so easy to manage now.
Yeah. Last time you were on, and I forget the name, tell me the printer that, the type of printer that you're using.
The one that I'm using, actually the two that I'm using, are from Bamboo Lab. Mm-hmm. So it's BAMBULAB.com.
Yeah, I'll throw that link in the show notes and down in chat too.
And I know you had a guy on your show that talked about some 3D printers.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember who that was. Give me a second. Keep talking. It'll come to me.
Well, I mean, he said the average guy a couple of times, and I was probably mowing, Jim, and I was cringing, to be honest with you, because what he's buying is not average by any stretch of the imagination. There are a handful of printers that are like professional, and the ones that he was using are kind of in between. You buy those. People used to buy those to run their print farms with because they had great support and they would get you parts. But they're the printers that come in a box about, you know, this big, and it's a billion parts, and it takes, you know, 2 weeks to put together. And then you need another 3D printer to print, you know, feet for it, or you know, something crazy like that.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
These guys, they just, their formula was the Apple way. They need it to just work. Right. So you buy it, you take it out of the box in 15 minutes. It's doing its thing. It calibrates itself and it just stops. And it's like, okay, let's go. And you send it a file and it prints it and it's perfect. Mm-hmm. So I knew, and I think I told you that story last time. I'm glad Scoondoggy's here because he and I used to talk about 3D printers and that 3D printer section at CES all the time. And he's like, Dave, you should just go by and see if you couldn't get you a free printer. And I always wanted to, but I knew it was kind of above me at that time because it was the Tinkerer man's product. It was like Bitcoin in the first year, right? You needed to be a full-on programmer in order to, you know, buy a 10,000 Bitcoin pizza, right? These guys made it where it's just software. It's an app. They're going to hold your hand. They're going to pick the best choices for you because 3D printing is not easy. There are so many things that you can change or that can go wrong. And they've mitigated a lot of those variables for you. And they've packaged it all up into a great piece of hardware. And the price gets pushed down and down and down. And my favorite printer, I have one sitting over here. I was going to go buy a second one today, but it started snowing. And I'm like, well, I'm old. I might melt.
That's right. Another day.
Yeah. We have a micro center, by the way, and they stock 3D printers. And this printer is $179.
Oh, wow.
$179.
Yeah.
We'll get you a Bamboo Lab printer. It's called the A1 Mini. It's going to be 6 to 7 inch square print bed. So it's what I would call your tchotchke printer.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to print little cutesy things. Right?
Right.
I try not to print cutesy things, although I have, and they're fun and they work. Mm-hmm. But I bought my second printer because every time I was printing something, I needed to print something. So I was like, well, I need a second printer. So, now I need a third.
Yeah.
You know, but it's kind of a production type thing now.
So you have a room, I think. You were telling me about this last time you were on. You were getting close to this. Have you built like a production line then for
your printer? I literally do have that. I built a Lego table for me and my boys. It's kind of a bar height.
Yeah, that's what you table. Were showing me.
It's completely out of hard maple. Pretty fancy. It's got drawers on one side, and the top is for mica. So you can get glue on it and the glue will just slide right off. And it's great for Lego because Lego will slide around and you can sort. And it's got a very, it's kind of like a light tannish, bright color to it. So you can see all the bricks really nice and easy. And I just lay things out on it and I work on it. And I built a desk for the 3D printers, and they each have a drawer under each printer. that holds the tools, and I just stack filament all over the room and try to keep everything organized somewhat. I've had to dig things back out that I've put away in the attic, like those stupid plastic drawer sets that you buy at Target. I've got those everywhere full of inventory, because I like to keep at least a couple of things each of the things that I create and I put on my Etsy store, which I don't even know how many things I have on the store, but it's quite a few in the print world.
So average guy, M1 or the A1 mini, good place to start then if you got nothing?
Fabulous place to start, Jim. Okay. You know how us guys will go to Harbor Freight and we'll buy that, $4 wrench. We'll get it home and it will break it in like 2 minutes. And you think, man, I could have put that money towards the good wrench, which I should have bought. And now I got to go back to the store. That will not be the case with this little printer, this A1 mini. It is a fabulous printer. I mean, it prints somewhat better than my big one that I paid, $700 for. So it's a wonderful printer. Okay. You can even buy, you have to pay a little more money, but you can buy a material system where you load 4 spools of filament onto this tree and you hook it up to the A1 mini, and you can do multicolored prints from this $180 device, meaning you can print your little tchotchke and you can make the eyes black and the center's white or whatever. It prints the tchotchke in blue, and then when it needs black eyes, it rolls the blue back, pulls the black out, or whatever, and does it all for you. It's phenomenal how easy this printing is now.
Yeah. You may, like me, you may be heading out to Amazon and looking for the Bamboo Lab A1 Mini on Amazon. Probably not the best place to buy it. I think the $179 deal directly from them, do you think, is the best place to get that?
Yes, you need to go direct or Micro Center. And Best Buy has been rumored to sell. They might start with filaments first, which I think is a great step. But if you have a Micro Center anywhere near you, that's where I would go. Okay. Because you always have that return guarantee with them.
Oh, nice.
And, if it came broken in the box, you could just take it straight back. You don't have to ship it back.
Yeah.
Although every single printer I've had, I've purchased from Bamboo, and they've come from China where they get made, and I've never had any issue, but things break. So just keep that in mind. And I do have a Micro Center, and this time I'm going to go there and give them a little love and buy from them. And they have filament too. So it's a great store if you have one. I know I'm geeking out about that, but it's a wonderful store to have.
We don't have one here in Omaha, although I probably went to Kansas City. In fact, I'm pretty sure there's one in Kansas
City. How far is that for you?
About 3 hours. Three, four hours.
Good Lord. You'd have to make a day of it. You'd have to go visit something.
Yeah, something. Hit a brewery down there or something along those lines. You can get them directly from them. They have a $20 coupon. So $199 on the site down to $179. Mm-hmm. What's the next? So after this, so I get the mini, then what's the next printer that I need after that? What do I graduate to?
If you really liked that one and you got into that groove where you're like, man, I need to print something while I'm printing something. Yeah. There's a printer called the P1S, and it is a fully enclosed printer. It has a nice glass door, a nice glass top, and it's going to run you, I think, $599, $699, and maybe a couple hundred more with it's called an AMS, automatic material system. And you can put 4 spools into this box, and it'll grab spools, and it's enclosed. So unlike the A1 Mini's AMS, which has a tree of 4 and they're out in the open, the AMS for the P1P and the P1S is fully enclosed. And the reason I'm even mentioning that is because the filaments are somewhat hygroscopic. I can't even talk tonight. Meaning they will absorb the moisture in the air around them. So you kind of have to keep them sealed up. If they get a little too wet, your prints will bubble and they won't look good. So you kind of have to keep that stuff dry. So you would graduate to that one, and you can print different things. You can print carbon fiber stuff, print all kinds of little knick-knacky things like the TPU, the flexible rubbery filaments that I've measured things in the kitchen, like for a blender or something, and created a gasket. You know, if you like, you lose the gasket, like where'd that gasket for the blender go? I don't know. Yeah. Well, I guess it's going to leak until we get a new one. You just make one.
Just print one. Just print one out. Tony Rayner said, Overland, the Overland, there's an Overland Park store in Kansas City. I know where that one's at. In fact, I think I've been to it. Kirshner's like, hey, we could do a Kansas City meetup. So I don't know, Dave, maybe you come our way to get out, to get this done.
Yeah. I can do that easily.
It's a straight 70, straight shot across 70 into Kansas City. So no worries there. I still on the 3D printing, it has not, that's the one tech thing I feel guilty about, of not getting, like, I don't want to do it. You know, I'm glad you are, and I'm super glad you're having great success with it and you're selling some things. I just, every time I go to buy one, now my son, John, who I think I've had him on the show before.
That he would like this kind of thing.
He would love this kind of thing. He wants to print Warhammer, you know, Warhammer 40,000.
I know, because he's a gamer, and the technical gamers and the board gamers love these things because they can print all kinds of little knickknacks.
Yeah. 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 And then paint them. And that's the big, it's not a real thing until it's painted.
Or cosplay masks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because one of the reasons why I got into it is I'm kind of an organization freak, kind of a neat freak. Yeah. And like I had in my shop, in my garage, I had drill bits in a drawer, and I've got screwdriver bits in another drawer, and you yank the drawer out and all the bits swim back and forth like they're in the ocean, right? And you're looking and you're like, okay, I'll take this one. And then it's a mess. And there's a system I put in your notes called Gridfinity. 2 years ago, this cool guy, kind of a weird guy, introduced an organization system that is based on grids, and you print out the flat grid system, and then you print out, you put the grid in the drawers or wherever you want to organize. And then you print out little trays and little holders, and they sit in the grids so they don't run around in your toolboxes. Mm-hmm. And literally I can go to my drill bits and pull it out, and I've got my Forstner bits, my spade bits, all of my 3/8 bits here. And I probably have like 20 1/4-inch drill bits in this one bin, right? And it's all organized. I can go right to it. I can pull it out, chuck it in, and walk away. If I go to my driver drawer, I can find the star bits, the 15, the 20, and the 25 are in a spot.
Oh,
I never have to wonder, do I have the right one? Can I even read the side of the thing?
Right, right. Yeah. So
it makes things
crazy.
I actually took some pictures of my shop today, but they're in my phone. I didn't even get them sent to you. But it's fun. It's amazing, and you can print anything you want. I've printed canisters, all kinds of organization abilities you can print. And all of this is free, Jim. I also gave you a couple of links to some sites that I frequent quite a bit. My two favorites are a site called Printables. That's the Prusa site for Prusa printers. But you can get free files there. And I don't mean a couple of hundred files like a Windows software store. Like, you know, there's 100 files and 99 of them are crappy. No, this is a place where people design products or fixes for other things. And it is some real quality stuff. Printables.com. And there's another one for the Bamboo Labs community. They created their own site called Maker World. And this one is cool because, Jim, you can look at Maker World on your phone. You can be flipping at bed at night and go, oh, that's cool. How about I just send that to my printer right now? Tap, and your printer starts printing it. So it's some really cool sites, and you can find so much stuff. Even if you don't have a printer, I mean, all your listeners should go out there and just kind of browse around and take a look at what they have to offer. And it, at first, it may not make any sense because a lot of the world of 3D printing actually is, these file sites are out there to improve the community itself.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot of gadgets for the printer itself. And that's literally how I learned the thing, was printing the improvements for the actual printer.
Mm-hmm.
Guys are like, well, the manufacturer's got this spaced weird. Why don't I put this gasket system and, you know, move this thing down just a little bit and it lines up better and I can speeds up my prints by 30 seconds. Well, he's right. He improved it, you know, and there's tons of those little things and it's actually a lot of fun to work on your printer and, you know, make it a race car, you know, doll it up, get some color going into it. And it's not just a black box and it's enjoyable for some.
I've always seen it as a tchotchke printer and I've always been like, okay, I don't need, or even what we're talking about, I don't need Warhammer figurines. I shouldn't have called them those, but.
Well, here's your tchotchkes. These are filament swatches, right? These are all the little colors of filaments for Bamboo Lab. That's, to me, that's a tchotchke. That's a good tchotchke.
Well, but yeah, you hold on. Hold that back up again for a second, Dave. Hold that up.
Filament tray.
And you printed that tray, right?
Yeah, printed the tray.
Yeah.
And all then, the little colors of filaments.
Yeah.
And
no, I wouldn't call that a tchotchke. I mean, that's helpful, especially in your space where you're doing colors. I kind of mean just like the little gadget things or keychains or whatever.
Oh, yes. But, I have printed my share of flexible, stupid things.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And it just allows you to learn.
Right. No, right on. But as I went to Maker World, I threw that link in the chat, Maker World, all one word, makerworld.com. The very first thing I saw was coffee station design contest. And they have, it looks like the winner or something was an Nespresso pod distributor that you can put your Nespresso pods in. And I actually have a tray for mine are underneath it. But I was all of a sudden, I was thinking, that would be cool hanging on the wall, right? And then lately, Sarah has been into a massive reorganization. Obviously, she's not allowed in this space, but she's been going through. I thought, man, if I let her have control over a 3D printer to custom build, because she's always buying little storage things to store stuff.
Oh, my God. She would have a blast.
Oh, yeah.
She would have a blast. I just 2 weeks ago, I've been printing for almost 2 years, maybe 2 years now. Just 2 weeks ago, I printed a little fix for our silverware drawer. I'm like, I had, there was, you know, behind the cutlery tray in that extra space in the drawer, there's always 5 billion things back there and you can't find anything. I'm like, today's the day that I fix this. Fixed it.
Today is the day.
I put my foot down. I'm going upstairs.
This thing is not sliding in this drawer anymore.
Right. So, yeah.
No. It well, and then you had me, like, I just have been buying. I've kind of gone through waiting for deals on DeWalt bits. Mm-hmm. And for, you know, I'd had some old bits and they just had kind of worn out and I got bits everywhere. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy the right storage container with the right bits in it. So every bit has its place. And it's always the torque or the star bits that you can never find when you need them. They're somewhere else. And you're like, oh, where did that thing go? And so it would be, I'm sure there are 1,000 different kinds of tool organizer designs.
Oh, it really fits into my world perfectly because the woodworking world, you can print just almost anything. A big thing was for me was dust adapters and hose adapters and little things to make this hose fit that hose and this tool fit that hose. And it's all out there and you can find it. And I've even designed my own because there wasn't one that I, you know, needed. Yeah. And I just designed it and boom, it's on my Etsy store.
It make for dust collection or even for your shop vac, right? Yeah. That would make, and you can go buy those shop vac kits. They're a dime a dozen there.
Oh yeah.
But no, custom ones for yourself, right?
Oh yeah. I've printed, you know, tons of that stuff. Tons, Jim.
Yeah. Schoonover thinks he still has his Home Gadget Geeks
medallion. I remember that. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Oh, it goes way back. You
can make a multicolor one now. I mean, just go hog wild.
Yeah. Yeah. You talked about the wood shop. That's, you know, a couple years ago, you kind of got into that. How's the wood shop? You talked about the organization, but have you done any upgrades out there? What kind of things are you doing in the wood shop?
The wood shop, I did. It's been a year now. Since the wood shop has really taken off for like a single product, I had a customer ordered a cutting board, right? And this customer wanted something called a juice groove. And I know all you meat guys that listen to Jim's barbecue show are going to know what that is. You have your brisket board, right? And it's a big board and you need somewhere for those juices to go. And they want a nice, hearty juice groove around that. Well, you can spend a week creating an ingrain cutting board, which all these guys want, like the booze block, Jim. Like it's the end of the wood is sticking up, so your knife tears those fibers and the fibers open up and it doesn't dull your knives for all you barbecue guys. And it takes a long time to make these boards and they're difficult. They're hard to sand and it's crazy. And then someone wants you to cut it open and put a juice groove around the edge of it. And then you take your hand router and you just tear the hell out of this board that you just spent a week on. And it just makes you cry, Jim.
Right. Right.
So I made a contraption that goes around it and you clamp your board down. And if you do it right, you can just run your router around, take a nice little pass, and then make it a little deeper, put another pass in it, make it a little deeper, and you've got a juice groove.
Nice.
Well, anytime I make something for me, this is basically what my Etsy store is. If I've made it for me or I've made it for a customer and it works well, I will sell it to other people. Does anybody want this? Well, people wanted it. I mean, I shipped three today. I shipped three yesterday. I have to ship three tomorrow.
Wow.
They just order the crap out of this juice groove jig.
Not the cutting board itself, but the...
Not the cutting board.
Yeah.
But the jig. These are woodworkers, Jim.
Yeah. Yeah.
Making boards. Right. But they would rather have a precision instrument made by a guy who knows how to make precision instruments, which I guess that's me.
Yeah.
And I've improved it. I make my own knobs. I 3D print my knobs. I shove a 1/4-20 bolt in them. I epoxy the head. And instead of purchasing a knob, right? I make little gadgets 3D printed that you can stick on the jig and make the router do different paths so you can put a hole in the corner of the board and hang it up. Or you can make a juice pool where if you've got a real big, you know, piece of meat and it's got a lot of juice, all the juice goes to this one pool.
Yeah.
So I sell these little add-on doohickeys with my 3D printing operation. And it's kind of distinguished my store a little differently because other guys make them, right? Yeah. This is not a new thing. You can go to Rockler, you know, the woodworking store online. They make them. But I don't think they make them as good as I do.
Sure.
So that right there kind of sent me into a different realm of Etsy. Because once you're a successful seller, I think, on any platform, right, you get traffic, you get clicks, and that gets you more clicks and more views and more favorites. So I think that's what's happened in the holidays. So, Jim, I started this probably like December 28th, December 30th of last year. So well after the holidays, I got a little bump in January because people got all their new toys and they're like, ooh, I need a juice groove jig.
Right. So,
here they come.
No, that's awesome. Yeah. It's a great way to, well, I love, and this is where your personality, I think, really fits well into this because you are a precision guy. You know, I'm kind of a close enough. That's close enough. You're really like, oh no, I want to get this.
Oh, you should see my instructions, Jim. I'm pretty sure by the time they finish reading my instructions, the delay is so wide that they can't come back and give me a bad review because time has run out. So my instructions are so detailed.
Oh man.
And so
So
I'm like, well, how do I capture this? I don't know. What is this thing that I've done here? How do I capture this? I need a couple of more juice groove jigs. You know, I need a couple of more. So after Christmas, I'll be launching a brand new product. And I hope that Santa brought them all little routers, little Milwaukee routers. Mm-hmm. And when they hit Etsy, they're going to find my page and they're going to be able to put their router in a table and put a little fence on it and put their dust collection in it. And they're going to have a router table.
Nice.
All for the low, low price of, I don't know, $79.
whatever you put it out there for. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Well, I love that. I mean, it's just to me, that's these kind of tried and true tools. Like you sell them because you use them. If they're not working for you, you know, sometimes I feel like you buy a tool and it's like, you're like, did anybody actually try to use this?
Right.
You know,
I dog food my stuff. I've been using this router table that I'm talking about. I use it every single day because I'm actually working I made it to improve my product flow.
Yeah.
I used to take a hand router and put an edge profile on all. I used to do it with sandpaper, right?
Right, right.
But it was just tearing the veneer off of the plywood. And I get a very expensive plywood, and I don't want to tear the veneers off. And I would sand it, and I was like, oh, let me use a router. Like, oh, you know, these long boards, I'm putting four edges on these long boards. And after a while, I'm like, I'm an old man. My arm is turning into rubber.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make a router table. Fix that.
Yeah. You're just becoming a regular Norm Abrams there.
Man was a genius. I would never compare myself with Norm.
He was the king of jigs. He had a jig for everything.
Everything. And he had a big bad old radial arm saw. He cut your stomach in half, you know.
Well, I was always impressed with that. The problem with me, and I know nobody else suffers with this, but I go into those kinds of jobs too fast. Like I'm in a hurry. I don't need to be in a hurry when I'm doing, you know, I really enjoy doing electrical work. Mm-hmm. And when I was younger, I would do terrible jobs to it because I'd just be in a hurry. And then as I've gotten older, you know, you slow down a little bit and you're like, no, think it through, enjoy the process, slow down, use the right tools. I think, you know, clamps are not what they used to be, right? The new world of clamps. I mean, when I was a kid, they were C clamps. That's kind of the, everything right. was metal. That's all you had.
C clamp or a pipe clamp. Yeah.
Yeah. Today's clamp world. Insane. Unreal.
It's insane.
And you can, you watch these guys on YouTube, everything is held with a clamp.
Yeah.
I mean, they're putting it together. It's all clamped up, and then it's all clamped up for one screw. Like, they'll clamp it up and then put the screw down, then take all the clamps off, you know? And mm-hmm. you're like, but it really has changed the way I think about the setup of projects. And you probably have to do this a lot when you're building these things, is getting it in the right spot, so you don't go oops, or you don't half-ass it because you got in a hurry. Right. That's to a woodworker, being in a hurry is it's dangerous. Right. You can run your hand through a saw.
I was the same way, Jim. I'm totally the same way, but I just learned. I would always practice. Mm-hmm. Like when I made legs for my tables, I would always practice in pine before I'd start cutting into the expensive stuff.
Yeah.
I would literally mill and straighten 2x4s, glue them together into a 4x4 unit, you know, instead of buying a 4x4, take all that time and it's practice, and then cut the dowels into it and put your skirt boards on it and make sure everything's lined up and perfect.
Yeah.
And always refer back to it. Just, it does teach you a lot of patience.
Yeah, that's the thing. Just slow down. Working on cars, same thing. Like, I always was always surprised when somebody'd work on a car and I'd be like, how did you do that? And you're like, they'd be like, I just took my time. Like,
I started in 1976. I can't see over the steering wheel now.
I just couldn't.
But I finished it.
I'm always out there in a hurry, and then I'm dropping things, and I think the more setup I do now, I'm just like, hey, I need to set this thing up so I can't screw it up. Mm-hmm. Basically is what it is, right? Clamp this thing in place, or get the right tools in there so it doesn't go awry, or get the right screwdriver heads that won't rip the screws out of the, you know, won't break the screws. Make sure you're using the right screw for the, you know, I for the longest time thought there were only Phillips screws. That's all you had. And there's now there's so many kinds available to you. And even I think the advent of the concrete screw, like, this is something the, and what's the brand name on the blue concrete screws?
Tapcons or something.
Yeah. Tapcon, I think, is what it is. That stuff's all fairly, that technology is all fairly new, and they have a ton of different, right? Just having the right tool there, I think, makes a huge difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
Use any patience. Any other new, you got any other new hardware in your shop since in the last 6 months or a year?
I mean, I've done a lot of cabinetry in support of this. My wife let me partition the garage. We had,
it was a big four bay.
Yeah. We had a four bay.
Yeah.
And she let me partition it. And we put a wall down the middle, top to bottom. Mm-hmm. I actually built the door. I made a little farm slider door. Oh, nice. Instead of buying it, I built it.
Yeah.
And I got that whole wall, and I just lined it with cabinets and a miter saw. And I bought, last year at this time, I hooked up a trailer and drove to Ohio and bought a table saw.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I don't know if you've ever heard of
why would you go all the way Ohio? Okay.
I bought a gently used saw.
All right.
And these are kind of like, they're kind of like Apple products, right? They retain a lot of value. Mm-hmm. So you find a good deal, you go and get it. And I knew this was a good deal just by the way the pictures looked. Like, he had never taken the stock blade off. He just used that one blade. Wow. The stainless steel was perfect. So I knew he hadn't abused it. Like me, you know, I change blades all the time because you have to use a ripping blade or a cross-cutting blade. Right. But I went and bought it, and it's called a saw stop. Meaning, if the blade is spinning and you stick your finger in it, it'll stop spinning. Mm. And you can pull your finger back, mm-hmm. and you still have one. or some people have even called it the hot dog saw, because you can find a video saw stop where they put the hot dog on a board and it goes thump, and the blade drops into the saw and it will not cut your finger off. So, and that was something I wanted. And I also wanted, is a big upgrade for me, Jim. I was working with one of those $500 DeWalt job site saws. Mm-hmm. And they can be pretty ornery devils.
Yeah.
And they're loud and they're underpowered. And the saw stop is, it's just an amazingly flat cast iron table and a beautiful fence. And you turn it on and it just whirs. It just goes whoosh. And it's like, oh, it's a beautiful thing. Having a really nice piece of equipment that is your centerpiece of your shop is really nice. I mean, I can stack other tools on this table saw like there's nobody's business, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what your table saw ends up doing.
Yeah.
Collecting all your other things. But
you, especially with your, when your stock gets bigger, the space is important, right? And then the thing I never got good at was having enough table space around
the equipment. No, right? You're right. And that was the first thing I built was an outfeed table that is mobile, because I do have to collapse this all down.
Right, right.
And that would fit, you know, at least a full sheet of plywood. Mine's actually a little bigger because I have a fold-up wing that tucks right into the table saw. But it has to fit a full-size sheet of plywood, because I do break down plywood for all these things that I make. And I use a track saw. That was another thing that was like a game changer for me.
Oh, for sure. What were the track saws 30 years ago?
It was your skill saw, your old man's skill saw. And he would just, you know,
trying to keep it straight. And you'd have that little line on the front. And there was no concept growing up. There was no concept of a track saw. And then it seems like 10 years ago, they just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Now everybody's, I see people cutting 2x4s with a track saw. Yeah. They'll put the tube just so they get it straight.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. People will replace the table saw and the miter saw with just that one piece of gear. Yeah. And which I can't, but I do love to throw the track on there, get a perfect edge, and then make really square cut. It's amazing, Jim.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're making furniture, what getting something square will do for your psyche and your end result. Because usually you put something together and you're like pulling it and grabbing it. It's like, it's not, I'll just sand that corner off, you know,
or tighten it down with a screw. Like,
to get the boards are aching and it's still wobbly when you put it on the floor and like, gosh, I measured it. Didn't I measure this?
You think you do. It's an art. I don't have that. I don't have that square. There's folks who have the squareness. They get it straight. They get it square. I'm not that guy. I'm better at destruction. That's right. If I ever started a company, it would be just the destruction company. I don't fix anything. I'm tearing it apart.
Right. PC load letter. I hear you.
I can tear some stuff up, man. Throw it away. Let me tell you, you know, I am good at that. So good on you for doing that. In fact, my next saw will be, because I bought I forget the name of the company, but they make all this retrofit stuff for older equipment. Right?
Yes. And it straps onto your circular saw and it's probably the blue stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the same ones that make the jig where you can drill the out
jig.
The pocket.
It's Craig. Yeah,
Craig.
Yeah.
That's what
it is. K-R-E-G. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that thing's full of plastic.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're awful, Jim. It's a good company, but that is just the most jankiest thing.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it works for, I use it when I'm just kind of ripping through some stuff that I kind of want to get straight. Mm-hmm. But I think my next skill saw will be a track saw that's meant to be a track saw. Mm-hmm. Just use it that way.
It is a wonderful thing.
Yeah. I never could figure out why would I want anything. You're always cutting straight lines with that stuff. It's not like you're, you know, it's not like you're freehanding it.
And I don't want to say an average folk, but people get the plywood at home and they see that straight line on the edge and they think, well, that's a good old straight line. Well, no, it's not. So the first thing you do is you take your track saw and you rip off just a little bitty piece. And then you have a reference edge. You put a little R right there. And then when you move your track over, it doesn't matter 5 inches or 10 inches. You make one more straight cut and you have a perfect board. It's just, it's 10 inches all the way down. And then your reference line is just moved. You have another perfect line. Right. And then if you need to cross cut it to make a plywood or a cabinet panel, you just put a square on it. And you square up your track going the other way, and you've made a 24 by 30 panel, and make a couple more, and you've got yourself a cabinet.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It's that'll be my next purchase. The other one I'll just use for cutting concrete, you know, put a concrete blade in there and just use it when I'm sawing concrete. So, okay, we've got a few minutes left. I can't let you go without talking about, you know, we're old home server guys. What are you using? What do you got? What's keeping your,
I've told you personally, Jim, I'm on a crusade. If the device dies or the batteries run out, I throw them away. So I'm kind of in my get off my lawn stage of life. And I really am not enjoying home automation like I used to.
Oh, really?
It's more in my way. Now, I say that. Okay. The first thing I do when I walk out to my garage is say, hey, A-lady, turn the garage on.
Right.
And all these beautiful lights come on and the LEDs and down lights. And, you know, so I do have use for it, but not like I used to. And I'm a different breed because, you know, I was getting things from manufacturers and trying all these things. I had many hubs, I had many gadgets, and it just got to be messy.
Yeah.
So I've really tried to simplify everything there. I use the A-lady, which she drives me nuts, but
deaf most of the time.
Plays the weirdest stuff. And I do, I invested in Ring several years ago, and I know their prices are about to go up, but I can't say enough good things about having an alarm system that my family trusts with sensors and, you know, Z-Wave doors and cameras everywhere. So, I really enjoy that. But, you know, as for the home server brigade, like I was telling you pre-show, in this room, there's not a Windows PC or server in this room. I don't use many Windows PCs. Now, my boys each have one, so I don't get very far from it because they're gamers.
Yeah.
And I have one on my CNC and my laser in my shop. So I enjoy Windows still, but I don't check, you know, I don't do updates. I always snooze. Yeah. Like, go away. But the server situation, I think, is the same, Jim. I have a 4-bay Synology in my basement, the fabled basement that you and I hooked up my first Bitcoin miner.
Yep.
And Lopta. Oh my gosh, it's been so long. somebody in Jim's chat, and if you're not catching the live show, you should catch the live show. So I got that same 4-bay. It has two USBs hanging off of it that back up independently. I have a 2-bay in another area of the house that hopefully is separated enough from like fire, flood, theft.
It
gets a full backup every night of the family's content. And then behind my array of monitors here, I have a personal 4-bay NAS. And I use it for a lot of my, I'm still doing a lot of photography. I do a lot of sports photography, although that's going to calm down here really quickly. But that creates a lot of data. So I have my own personal NAS. And on those NASs, I have all my CNC files. I have all my Etsy plans. My Etsy plans get backed up. I'll throw things out on OneDrive. Like if I go on vacation, I'll grab all my Etsy files and throw them on OneDrive so I can get to them and refer to them if a customer has a question. So I try to do that. And just so I have a backup of it in case the house wasn't here when we got home.
Right.
My business would still be alive because I would still have my files. I think that's it. I use a little bit of Google Photos, a little Amazon Photos, a lot of OneDrive. I'm not quite the Microsoft guy that I used to be.
That's okay. That's okay. I think we moved. I think in some ways we've moved kind of beyond that. It's funny. Your photography really took off kind of as we were closing things out. Your kids were playing sports. You were kind of starting. You'd done some photography, but your photography really took off post that stuff. My photography went the opposite direction. I rarely take a picture of anything these days. It's so funny. I look back at my Facebook memories and I used to post way more things on Facebook. And now it's just a work tool. Like I chat with customers and such.
You're right.
Yeah. I'm hardly posting anything anymore. I'm hardly taking any pictures. I'm kind of thinking like, I won't have any when I go. There's going to be nothing from that I actually took that would be available to anybody anywhere. I've actually downsized my server, my storage stuff. I went through a bunch of stuff a couple months ago and just said, a bunch of podcast stuff. I mean, I make a ton of podcast stuff and I was like, I don't need it anymore. I can find it somewhere or why do I need it?
Right.
And so I really downgraded. I went from four or five terabytes of stuff to about a terabyte of data. And it's tough to let that stuff go. You got a lot of pictures that you got to be thinking about all the time of like, how do I find them? Where are they at? Are they getting backed up? And I just don't have any. I literally am not backing up any pictures anymore. Because I'm like, well, it's on Instagram or it's on Snapchat. Although maybe it's not on Snapchat because they get rid of stuff. But
we just did senior year with my oldest. He's played football since second grade and they're like, we got to make senior posters with all the pictures. And I was able to pull all that and hand it to the wife and she's able to make the board and I don't know. It's just,
No, it never ends. Yeah. Listen, there's some college years and then there'll be some family, you'll have some
Christmases,
some grandkids stuff.
It will slow down. My usage and my storage needs will slow down. And they already have, because we used to rip our Blu-rays, and I don't even know where my Blu-rays are in the house right now. So
what the question is at some point, will you give those files to the boys? Like, do you have folders that you'll be like, okay, I'm going to send, these are your pictures now.
I used to worry about that. And they're not going to, they're like, they're going to be like you when you were throwing away pictures of your great grandparents. And I'm listening to that. I'm going, geez, God, Jim, they're turning in their graves. Don't say it out loud.
Oh, I did say it out loud.
Oh,
my brother.
I think that's going to happen.
I'm going to throw these away. You're not going to throw them away. I'm going to shred them.
They're even worse. Them forever.
Oh, my gosh.
They're
going
to haunt us through every move in our life.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah. And then we're going to give them to our kids and they're going to try to move them. And I don't know. It's going to be their job. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what they have to do.
I think they're going to want them, Jim. He wants a few pictures of his football playing days.
Yeah.
Probably the ones where he's a senior and he looks, he's a huge monster of a child where he looks like bad to the bone and that's it. Yeah. He's like, this is me when I was a kid,
Although you say that now, or they say that now, and that may change when they're, you think of the old Springsteen song, Glory Days, when they're thinking about, yeah. you know, oh, God, it'd be so great if I, you know, when they're 30 in a dad bod and mm-hmm. they're like, oh, I remember my dad's got some pictures. Dad, you got any?
My fourth grade all-star year. Kids. Yeah.
Yeah. They want to show yeah. their kids.
Right. Well, and, I gave those to you.
Yeah. yeah. Well, yeah, that's always the question I had is like, how do we do you put a hard drive together and say, here you go, plug this in, or does
that's
it
what I on? Do. I have yeah. three, I have a stack, Jim, of 3 terabyte drives. Lord knows how many I have.
Yeah. yeah.
And I'll drop an entire year on a drive and, yeah. and file it away. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure in 20 years, they're going to pull that out and go, what is this?
Exactly.
How do we turn yeah. this on? There's not even a button on it.
How do we?
There's no screen.
Maybe we should go listen to dad's Shake old it. Home server shows. Maybe right.
that'll tell Those us. Will be gone too.
That'll tell us. That'll tell us where they are, and you know, they'll be researching. You know, yeah. listening.
I don't to even know if they'll be able.
I know.
How long will the interfaces be around right. for yeah. serial ATA or IDE?
Right.
I still have SCSI cables. I have a box full of SCSI cables I tried to throw away.
Yeah.
And they just went to the basement.
Right. Right. Because you're like, oh.
I'm going to need that SCSI array cable. I just know it.
I know.
That token ring card. Oh, I'm going to need that too, you know.
I had a tray of, I mean, I had a whole container of things that I went through and threw what I, you know, anything like that. I was like, okay, these are gone. I even threw some old power cables out. Those will never, like, how many power cords do you think?
I made the purge where yeah. how yeah. many USB cables did I have? And the biggest thing, Jim, was back in my day and your day too, 80s and 90s, every time you bought something, it would have the red and white audio cable that mm-hmm. was about 3 feet long. And mm-hmm. I probably found mm-hmm. how many of those? Like 30 of them? Like, mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Oh yeah. I had a ton. I had a ton. And some of those, I mean, I'm going to take them to Best Buy because they're recycle with some of these cables yeah. to pull the copper yeah. out of them. Right.
Yeah.
And, but so that box made it from my desk. It's now in the garage. Right. I mean, so I got to get it from the garage to my car and then I got to get to Best Buy right. and
yeah. Or take it to the recycling facility. Yeah. I just recycled 2 TVs and they made me pay $20 each.
Oh, that's good. Recycled. That's cheap. Really. They went 50 for I have an old CRT still. That's, I got a big giant CRT and a,
why do they charge so much? TV. That's how they end up in the landfill because people want to pay them and they'll break them into a million pieces, put them in their dumpster.
Yeah. yeah. No.
Throw
no.
them down a hill.
It's a sickness. It's we're kind of going through that purge phase a little bit. Sarah's doing better than I am of closing stuff out and getting rid of it. But I am trying to go through some things. I just hold on. You know me. I just hold on to stuff for a long time until it's absolutely dead, and then I still hold on to it thinking like, oh, this will be cool, but it never is. Never is cool.
I made the purge where I went through one time and I could go through again and find more, but like old cameras, you know, from the 90s.
Yeah.
Just yeah. stupid stuff. Why am I holding on?
Right on.
To right on. Yeah, old electronics. Mm-hmm. I just got rid of it.
I have an old Canon T50. That's the film. That's a film one from the 80s. Still in my yeah. in a box somewhere. We used that right up until the cutover for digital stuff. Right. I remember sending things off to Snapfish. Is that a thing? Is that a thing? Yeah. Snapfish. Yeah. Yeah. Dan says out in chat. He says print off instructions to tape on the outside of the drive so they know what legacy tech they need to look for on eBay, so that maybe you might have like an arrow. This is a SATA drive. They won't call it SATA. They'll be like SATA.
You might have to get a dock and then just put it in the box, and hopefully they still have USB-C.
I don't. And yeah.
Tony bought my boxy box. I totally forgot about that.
Oh yeah.
Remember that? Yeah. That was.
Oh yeah.
That was.
Still in his tech closet.
06 era.
Sammy has, she's kept phones from certain generations, and she's got my old iPod Touch, which I think was a first or second gen iPod Touch. She still got them in an area in a room.
I have a lot of old Apple gear. And when I was needing a new saw, I sold one of the first gen iPhones, funny, to someone in Redmond, Washington, on eBay. Got a lot of money for one of those. And I still have another one. I can see the box from here, but I have a lot of old Apple stuff. Mm. All my first iPads, iPad 1, iPad 2.
Oh, yeah. They still turn on?
I'm sure they would.
Think but so?
My iPhone 3GS still turns on.
Wow.
Yeah. The original. We had.
I wish I'd kept my Palm Pre. I'd have kept my Palm Pre. I didn't. It's gone.
Yeah.
That's a miracle that the HP tablet, Tony's talking about the HP.
I remember that heyday. Trying to find those.
Well, and then they were a thing, and then they weren't a thing, and then they were like $25 and crazy. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Those were the days.
A lot of my old Google phones. I have a lot of the Google Fi when I was in the Fi beta program.
Uh-huh.
Where they sent out free. I have my Zune Scoondog. I have my Brownie. I sold one of my Brownies, and
Kevin talks about the Zune. Brian says is one of his favorite old Apple products is the gum stick iPod Shuffle. I have a red square Shuffle that it won't stream, so we can't live. I just don't even consume music that way anymore. So
you know what, my oldest kid, we bought him a retro old pickup. It's a 97 nice. Chevrolet Z71.
Yeah.
So it's a short bed Z71. Yep. It's the baddest truck ever. Mm-hmm. And he comes in one day and he's like, "Dad, what's that hole in the dash by the radio?"
Yeah.
I was like, "Those are for cassettes, you dummy." I said, "Go down to the basement and get those cases." And he pops it open. He's like, "Metallica, Guns N' Roses." Yes.
Yeah.
So he's popping cassettes in his pickup.
Isn't that hilarious? We had a guy, an intern from last year that I worked with. He found a Porsche that it would have been maybe 80, 79, 78, and it had an 8-track player in it.
Nice.
So he went on eBay and bought boxes of 8-tracks, you know, just. Yeah, you can get them for a nickel.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Cool. People just sell them boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Journey. You know, and maybe some Boston. And so he bought those on eBay and then was just listening to 80s, you know, 70s and 80s music on his 8-track in his Porsche. And I just thought, oh my gosh, you know, that's hilarious. The great memory lanes. Well, Dave, thanks for saying yes, and thanks for all the work that you've done. Thanks for being my friend over the last 15 years.
I appreciate you keeping the memories alive, and I always I don't listen to every show, but I do tune in every once in a while.
I appreciate that. And they're not all designed to be listened to by everyone all the time, but you know, the ones that make sense, that's all we're looking for.
I do listen a whole lot, but when I mow, I always listen. Yeah. When I'm, you know, I'm on the mower, I'm always listening. But you know, that's only an hour or two every week. So
right, and now not at all because
it's winter. Yeah. So,
well, I tell people all the time. People are like, why do you still do this after so long? And I'm like, because it gives me a chance to connect with people that I get. Then I get to have a private conversation, so to speak, with all my friends. They get to hear. They get to listen in. But I get to ask the questions, and I really enjoy, you know, spending time with people and doing it this way. So
I enjoy clicking the hang up button and not having to do a thing.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. For so many years you did that for me. And,
I know how to do it right now. If I started a podcast, I wouldn't even know what to do. I wouldn't even know how to record it.
Yeah.
My text bills have moved. Like I can open Fusion 360 and draw something in 3D and scale it and model it and print it. And that's where my brain cells have gone now.
I think you'd, well, one, it's gotten so much easier. Like I record this all, when we're done, I'll literally hit two download buttons and kind of walk away. And then, you know, the editors are so easy. Drop it in an editor, cut some things out, add some music in. That takes me 5 minutes. Then export it and drop it into AI. Does the show notes. It does, like, I mean, it makes so much of that stuff. Hey, I ask Otter, what are the products we mentioned? Brings all of those back, right? I can take your show notes. You did really good show notes tonight. I could drop that into AI and say, summarize all, make this make sense. And, you know, your you kind of did stream of consciousness in your show notes, right?
I literally wrote, I called Jim a diatribe, a 4-page blog post. He's like, what have you been up to?
Yeah. Well, but it makes sense to me. I look at this and it makes sense. But AI would clean this up into some really good show notes.
You could create your own language model of your,
for sure,
your all, every conversation, 632 shows. That would be amazing. You know, we always used to say, what show was that? Where did we mention that? If you had a large language model of just your show notes and your conversations, you'd be able to find anything you wanted in that.
Yeah.
Unreal. Something we'd never thought of.
No.
Like, and someone will tell us.
I never thought we'd do voice cloning. I mean, I've cloned my voice. I've done intros that are not me. I mean, they're me written. They're my voice. But now my intros are all done with, you know, not here, but at work.
Right.
With an AI voice clone, right? And that stuff's really good. You know, and you're just like, okay, this is, so I think if, when you come back to this, cause I think someday you're going to get the bug again and you're going to want to do
if someone said, hey, let's do a maker podcast.
Yeah.
Let's do laser CNC 3D printing and technology. Yeah. I would have to have technology in there somehow. I would probably jump in. I think I'd probably jump in and be a regular.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you do it. It's not as hard. It's gotten a lot easier. I mean, when you started,
the industry is no different than the tech industry, right? You dive in, people come. There's conferences where you can meet and mix and meet vendors, and then they're giving you gear. You're talking about the gear. You're getting 3D printers thrown at you, or like NASA. You know, it's no different. It's just a different hobby.
Yeah. No, right on.
Crazy. But
I think you'll be back. You were laughing at this, but Tony said, so my wife,
I was laughing at that.
I know you were laughing at that one. So you're going to Indianapolis to hang out with a bunch of men you met through the internet.
Yeah. Yes.
I love that. Shoemaker was there. Jim says, geek weekend. Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
It would be so fun if you guys want to do it like next September, probably. Cause I got to get a kid off to college for the first year. So that's going to be a big dad thing for me. That's my next milestone.
Yeah.
But after that, I'm going to come back home and go, well, crap. What am I going to do now?
Well, you still got Max home. You still got Max.
Yeah. I never see Max. Yeah. He's literally 5 feet away from me right now, but I won't see him. He's a hermit. He's a teenager.
Oh, I miss that kid. It's hard to believe he's as old as he is. I remember when he was born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy times. But hey, these guys in the chat, I appreciate you. I think about you guys all the time. I watch you on Facebook. I don't tweet anymore. I don't even do the threads. I don't do a whole lot of social media. But we could have a hashtag best meetup ever 2025.
That would be so crazy to get together again. It would be fun. I've kind of written the meetups off a little bit, and
they're hard, Jim, to do, and you have to have some momentum built behind them. And I don't know how we did it, but we did it. I really don't know how we did it.
I know. I remember driving. It's 12 hours from here to there, and leaving early in the morning. Someone to
drive 12 hours,
a car full of stuff.
Where people that come from England.
Yeah. Oh, it was good. It was good. Those were some good times. Maybe we'll get back to it.
Choose Alabama. Yep. Anthony's Tony Raynor is South Carolina.
Well, Mike Howard would come up from Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Right? And so, yeah.
Chris Kenny from Illinois and Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. I think we had some folks fly in too, right?
Lots of fly ins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, Brian Auer, the very first meetup with Brian Auer showing up before we'd even.
Like, do you work
you
here?
Even got there?
Like, no, I'm here to see Jim and Dave. Well, they're probably around here somewhere.
Oh, well, yeah, I haven't seen them. I don't know. We'll go outside classic. Now and see.
That was classic.
Well, Dave, hang on one second. Let me close this thing up. Appreciate you coming out tonight. A couple reminders on the way out. If you want to join the discussion, join the Discord group to theaverageguy.tv/Discord. If you want to leave me a message, head out to homegadgetgeeks.com. Although somebody told me that's not working very well. So send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. That's probably the best way to get that done. And then don't forget theaverageguy.tv platform, both web and media hosting, powered by Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people that you know and you trust. And you know that's Christian. He was just on last week. Check it out today. Plans still starting as little as $10 a month. MapleGrovePartners.com. I'll have the links to Dave Etsy's page as well as all the other links we talked about tonight in the show notes if you want to check it out. If you're listening live, thanks for coming out. If you're listening to the recorded version, come out and join us live. It's tons of fun. And we'd love to see you in the chat room. Big thanks to Kevin and Jim and Dan and Brian and Tony. And I think I saw, who else did I see out there earlier? Ken was out there. Ryan Kirshner was out there. Thanks for coming out. And thanks for listening. And with that, we'll say goodbye.